Are you traveling to foreign countries for work? Do you have clients or colleagues abroad that you'd like to communicate more easily with? Then you should learn to speak a new language and make your business better. Living Language Business courses provide you with the most useful phrases, vocabulary, and cultural tips for business. Try a Living Language Business course for free by using code WSJ2016 at checkout. Visit livinglanguage.com/business to get started.
In the last big economic report before the election, the U.S. economy adds 161,000 jobs.
What's news from the Wall Street Journal? Top stories without the noise.
I'm John Werdock at the news desk in Washington. More job growth during the month of October. The U.S. economy adding 161,000 jobs. Unemployment dipping to 4.9%. What does this mean for Fed policy? What does this mean for the U.S. election? Let's bring in Bob Bruska. He's at Fact and Opinion Economics. He is here to help us take the pulse of the job market. So, Bob, what do you make of this report?
It's not really a great report, but it's probably got enough of the kind of stuff that the Fed wants to see in order to keep this view of a rate hike in December alive. The headline, 161,000, private jobs, 142,000. The unemployment rate ticks back down to 4.9%. It had been up to 5% for 1 month. It's still up from its cycle low, which was back at 4.8%. There's going to be some focus on average hourly earnings because the Fed is really looking at inflation. And the average hourly earning headline rose by 0.4%. But this is not the number that I tend to look at, and a lot of economists don't. We tend to look at the average hourly earnings for non-supervisory workers, for the rank and file. And there's a big difference this month because that number was only up 0.2%. So it looks like there was more of a wage punch for supervisory workers, but not for rank and file members, because the ex-supervisory number is only up 0.2% and only up by 2.4% year over year. So that's going to be one difference in the way people look at this report. And that's a big difference if you think the Fed's focused on inflation, whether you're talking about a gain of 0.4% or 0.2% or 2.8% year over year or 2.4% year over year. So I would just point that out in this report. It's something that will be an important distinction in terms of how you think about it. So I think if the Fed, they're leaning toward a rate hike in December. I think that the Fed basically has factional issues where the hawks on the committee are really chomping at the bit and want to raise rates. And I don't think there's anything in this report to keep it from happening.
That 161,000 figure pretty much seems in line what we've been getting month after month after month.
Yeah, the three-month average for that is 176. Let's talk about the private sector number. The private sector number was 142,000 over 3 months. Private sector jobs averaged 154, which is the same as the six-month average, and a little bit below the year-over-year average at about 180,000. So, you know, that's what that number has been. The Fed thinks that we need to have jobs probably in the 100,000 to 120,000 range to keep the unemployment rate steady. So really, this number is stronger than the Fed's minimal requirement. So that's why I say there's nothing in this report to make the Fed disappointed. It's a lower job gain than a lot of people expected, but it's still enough to possibly keep moving the unemployment rate down. Of course, the unemployment rate did move down this month, but it does formally come from a separate survey than this.
Does the Fed have the ammunition it needs to go ahead and hike in December?
Well, I don't think this report stops them. I think there are other things going on. We had a weaker non-manufacturing ISM report reported out yesterday. I mean, what I'm concerned about is the economy very clearly has lost some momentum. And while the Fed wants to move interest rates up because it wants to get some space between itself and that 0% mark, the irony is that if they move rates up under the wrong conditions, they could cause us to crash down through that barrier. And I am still concerned about the economy and its momentum, but the Fed seems to have a different decision. They seem to have made their choice, and they seem to be headed for a rate hike. And to me, it's a relentless pursuit of an objective that doesn't make sense.
And regarding the election, going into this report, the speculation was a really strong number helps Hillary Clinton a really weak number helps Donald Trump, but this number seems blah. It seems, right in the middle. Does anyone gain from this politically?
Probably not. No, this is kind of that kind of in-between number where nobody can really look at it and make any hay. I mean, I think that the Clinton camp is going to look at the increase in wages and the drop in the unemployment rate and try to say it's finally working, and the Trump people are going to look at the headline and, you know, point out that it's weak and job growth has been withering and make the usual criticisms, and then they're going to step outside of the economic stuff and sling mud at one another, and all the rest of us are going to duck and wonder who the heck we're going to vote for.
And one area that did lose jobs was manufacturing. Do you think Trump will seize on that in the final weekend of campaigning?
Well, this is a bread and butter issue for him. You know, the fact of the matter is that, and this double-edged sword, is that the manufacturing sector just isn't that important. It doesn't hire that many people. But, of course, that's the point. You know, this has been an important sector to the U.S. economy. We really, I think, need to revitalize this sector, and I think that Trump realizes that more than other people do. If you have a service sector economy, then you're going to have service sector jobs. You're going to have less productivity. The economy is going to be less dynamic. We need to break out of that cycle, and this has been a theme that Trump understands and that other people don't seem to understand. You know, the big difference is that Trump wants to create high-quality jobs, and Hillary Clinton simply wants to promise that you can get paid more. And, you know, you've got to really fix the economy before we can afford to pay people more. You can't just raise people's wages without increasing the economy's ability to pay people better. And so this is where a lot of the battleground is being fought in this election.
No matter who wins on Tuesday, will the next president be able to sustain this kind of job growth month after month? Right around 160, 170, 180,000 jobs added?
Oh, no, the next president is going to be, you know, bound and gagged by internecine warfare between the two parties. What's going on in this presidential election is just so terrible, just so abysmal, that I think that whoever gets elected, at least the next two and possibly the next 4 years, are going to be nothing but relentless political fighting. And to me, the acrimony that we see means that fiscal policy is going to be very hard to mobilize, and it means we're going to continue to have to depend on monetary policy, which is already very overused, to get things done. And so I'm very concerned. I think that in some sense it makes very little difference who gets elected, because then we're only going to be talking about whose policies are going to be blocked in the political process.
He's Bob Bruska. He's at Fact and Opinion Economics. Thanks, Bob.
Okay, thank you.
Bob joining us from New York. And I'm John Wardock at the news desk in Washington for the Wall Street Journal.
News on the go. Whenever you want it, wherever you want it. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.